Overall, broad market pressure seen in grains and in the crude oil complex on the day Tuesday. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Jesse Allen with this market update. Mike Zuzulo with Global Commodity Analytics joins us for our market wrap-up here today. And Mike, I know a lot of traders are keeping an eye on the Middle East tensions, of course, with what I'd say is a shaky ceasefire agreement between Israel and Iran. Crude oil down another 3% here today, well off its highs for Monday. And I think that is something that we need to pay attention to closely in the trade, Mike.
Yeah, for sure. I think this is one of those markets we've moved into the middle part of the week now, as of today's close, with more of a commodity-wide sell-off, Jesse. This crude oil slide of about 18% or almost $14.50 a barrel just since Monday's high. Yeah, so that'd be just yesterday's high in the August contract is overpowering, I think, the high-frequency funds. And the only two commodities that I keep track of that are higher today are copper and cotton, and they're not up by much. And so even with a new 27-month low in the U.S. dollar index and emerging market currencies staying very, very strong through all of this, and the stock market getting up close to its record highs again, at least in terms of the S&P 500, the commodities do look a lot different when it comes to these past couple days, and that they're all kind of training together, and you can feel the weight. And so I do think the high-frequency algo funds are working very, very hard in the commodity complex, maybe not looking at as much at the supply-demand fundamentals in their totality.
Well, one thing that maybe was a bright spot Tuesday is the corn market. A pretty sizable sale to Mexico announced on the morning wire from private exporters, and it seems like that maybe helped corn minimize some of the losses on Tuesday, Mike.
Yeah, I think so, and it had the best shot, I think, Jesse, of a turnaround Tuesday mindset, even though we had another 2.5 to 3% leak in the bucket for the soft red and hard red wheat, with more harvest pressure and that outside market pressure, especially keeping that wheat going straight down, essentially. But between the Mexican purchases of about 630,000 tons of corn announced in the morning, and the fact that the July D's corn spread was running a negative 14 premium to the December versus the July Nov bean spread running a 14-cent premium in the old crop July, I think the market was out of whack and weren't ready for those crop conditions. And seeing 70% good to excellent doesn't get us hardly above last year by more than about a percentage point. And I think the trade was set back by that. I quite honestly feel as though heading into the grain stocks and acreage reports here on Monday, I guess, of this coming week, the trade has been trying to press and sell the corn pretty hard with the idea the crop is really phenomenal. I think maybe they're backing off of that at this point, so I think it's worth watching that July D's corn spread all the way through to Monday's reports, because then July corn will actually be in deliverable situation, and it'll be actually be a cash commodity at that state at the mercantile exchange.
You bring up the grain stocks and acreage numbers coming on Monday, and Mike, we know these are always very influential reports in the trade, and I think for a grain complex that's really lacking any sort of story right now, one has to wonder how important these reports could be potentially to the markets as we get into next week.
I hope they provide some answers on what kind of planting issues and replanting issues we have had to incur east of the Mississippi River. More importantly, and I think more likely to see from USDA's statisticians, where are we when it comes to the stocks, both on farm of corn and commercially held stocks of corn, given the fact that our year-to-date corn export inspections, those corn bushels that have actually been shipped out of the country are up about 28% with about 10 weeks of the marketing year left, whereas USDA in their WASDE report has us up only about 15% for corn exports in the marketing year versus last year. I mean, we're almost double at this point on physical shipments of corn, and it makes me wonder whether we're not going to see a tighter corn stocks report one way or the other. And that's kind of what I've been talking to clients and subscribers about, Jesse, about if you don't have commercially stored corn and you can wait a few more days, I would probably recommend waiting until you see those numbers on next Monday.
looking over at the livestock trade, kind of a back and forth day at cattle futures, Mike. I know we started higher, but we kind of gave that up through the session and finish it up relatively mixed. What are you watching on the cattle side this week?
Well, we had the equity markets on our side for sure on Tuesday. So what could have, you know, hit us so hard and taken away those triple digit gains, and the fact that feeders were leading us to the upside, and without any kind of news developing that I've seen so far about the U.S.-Mexico border, I think maybe what happened was the U.S. consumer confidence numbers got dropped in on us while the cattle were sharply higher. Those confidence numbers were pretty bad, especially given that the jobs data in the confidence numbers were pretty scary when it came to the current job availability is now down a sixth consecutive month in this consumer confidence report. And the expectations overall 6 months out dropped about 5 points and is at a very low number. So I would guess that longs jumped out in the cattle because of that. We'd already seen hogs and the longs jumping out of hogs, I think probably ahead of Thursday's hogs and pigs report. So it did make us a more mixed day. But when it comes right down to it, cash is still trading in the fats around 235. We're still getting around 320 for feeders in the cash market. So we still have a futures market that's a discount to those cash prices.
Mike, anything final you'd mention or reiterate to folks here today on the market wrap-up?
You know, the way the seasonality is starting to project itself out because of the crude oil weakness in the wheat and this harvest pressure we're seeing, Jesse, wouldn't be surprised to see maybe a low being carved out a little after that July 4th time period or right before, depending on what the grain stocks and acreage numbers suggest and say that USDA gives us.
Mike, if folks want to reach out for a conversation with you there at Global Commodity Analytics, what's the best way?
Best way is to go to the website, go to globalcomresearch.com. That's globalcom with two M's. Research.com. You can take a look at some of our video and analysis. Also sign up for a 2-week free trial there.
And of course, we always remember that risk of trading futures and options can be substantial. Mike Zuzalo, Global Commodity Analytics. Thanks for joining us today on the American Ag Network. We appreciate the time.
Thank you, Jesse.
And that's the market wrap-up for Tuesday, June 24th here on the American Ag Network. I'm Jesse Allen reporting.